Couple things. Number one, the Rangers, as Igor Shesterkin, we got off the air yesterday, news came down, I'd say early evening, that Igor Shesterkin for the Rangers being placed on IR. So the goalie about 3 weeks ago that the Rangers gave a $92 million extension to, now placed on IR. We know they've been terrible. What are they, 4-15, I think, the last 19 games? They've been downright brutal. You know, the other report coming out is that potentially Mika Zibanejad could, you know, waive his no movement clause if the right deal presents itself. I think Elliot Friedman had that report as well, which would be, I mean, listen, you come to a point, and I think here's the realization, and I've been really critical of Chris Drury, and he deserves to be criticized with the way that this organization has just collapsed and fallen apart. And listen, they, like I mentioned, you know, they could fire Peter Laviolette. Was that going to equate to anything? No. Here's you want to talk about depressing? It's over. Like, that's the depressing aspect of it. Like, it's over. The Rangers potentially winning a Stanley Cup for the first time since 1994. Like, this group, it's run its course. It's over. Like, that's the aspect that hits you. Like, there's only so many people you can go out there and blame. You know, you bench Kako, you bench Kreider, maybe you move Mika Zibanejad, you traded Kako, you traded Jacob Trouba, you place Barkley Goodrow on waivers, you got the contract resolved with Igor Shesterkin after he turned down your initial offer. The team still stinks. It's over. You can go out there and fire Peter Laviolette. It's over. A team that last year won the President's Trophy and was two victories away from making it to the Stanley Cup Final. Listen, they were not the better team against Florida in the Eastern Conference Final, but still, you came into this year, even after getting off to the great start, you said, well, maybe something's a little bit wrong with this team. Something's a little bit off. And maybe, you know, obviously, Jacob Trouba still being around the team after you basically publicly embarrassed him during the offseason and tried to move him around the NHL draft. Maybe, obviously, that didn't necessarily work for the culture within the room, but that's the depressing aspect when you look at it if you're a Ranger fan, right? If you're watching there, even though if you have Altice now, amazingly enough, strike at midnight last night, you know, and I've got to cut the cord. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I can. And the Rangers have been unwatchable, but still, I'm not going to get Rangers or MSG hockey because they're fighting over, you know, they're fighting over fees and money and this and that between MSG Networks and Altice. Fantastic. Great. At some point in time, I've got to come to the realization to get rid of the cable and cut the cord. But that's fantastic to start the new year. The Rangers are great. The Rangers are terrible. The Knicks are great. The Knicks have won 8 in a row. The Rangers have been readily unwatchable. Put that aside, though. And if you're dealing with that, I feel for you. We're dealing with it as well here in the Malusis household. But still, that's to ring in the new year. The announcement yesterday on New Year's Eve that MSG is no longer going to be on Altice. Fantastic. Great. Love it. Thank you. Welcome to 2025. The Rangers, though, that's the thing that hits you. As the Knicks, the other tenant at Madison Square Garden, who, you know, hopefully get Mitchell Robinson back at some point in time. You have questions about their defense for sure, but you have a coach in Tom Thibodeau that you know will get this team better defensively. And as Jeff Van Gundy said years ago, defense is all about effort, right? So, but if you get Mitchell Robinson back at a tweak here or there, the Knicks, the sky's the limit this year, right? It really is. With Towns and Brunson and Mikal Bridges having that 41-point game against the Spurs on Christmas Day, OG Anunoby, like there's not Josh Hart being that glue guy, Mr. Triple-Double as of late. Like, there's nothing that the Knicks can't go out there and do in the Eastern Conference. You're proud to be a Knick fan. It really is. And as the Knicks rise, the Rangers have crumbled right before your very eyes. And this isn't one move here or there. It's going to get more and more difficult in the salary cap world of the National Hockey League with Shesterkin making the amount of money that he's going to be making after this season, after getting that $92 million contract extension. Drury was, after, you know, they threw Gorton and Davidson under the bus, Drury was here to try and win this team a Stanley Cup. Make the necessary moves here or there to do that. Didn't happen. They gave us great spring runs, but ultimately the goal was not achieved. So ultimately it failed. And now the cold hard truth is it's over. So maybe you move Mika Zibanejad. What is that going to equate? You're dealing from a point of desperation. Are you exactly going to be able to rebuild this thing? You know, look at Philip Hedl, one hit away. Obviously, he's been dealing with concussions. The development of Alexei Lafreniere, nice. You know, the leadership of Trocheck, better effort the other night in a loss against the Florida Panthers, but still, in the end, it was a loss. And that's, we could point fingers, and I pointed the finger wholeheartedly, both hands, at Chris Drury. They could fire Laviolette. They can move on from Mika Zibanejad. They can do all these things. But ultimately, what you have seen is that a Ranger team that have given us so many great spring moments, even though they did not realize their goal, ultimate goal of winning a Stanley Cup championship and raising Lord Stanley Cup above their shoulders in celebratory mood, whether it be at MSG or some other place. In the end, it didn't work. And now the group is over. And the run is over. And now it's a matter of, what do you do now? And the cold, hard truth is, with this team and this organization, unless Chris Drury is an absolute miracle worker, you're heading into some dark days for this franchise. Even with Shesterkin. I know he's on IR now. Even with the best goalie when healthy in the world. 888-808-1019. Manasquan, we go. It's Dan. It's the fan. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, Moose. How you doing? First time good, big Dan. Fan.
Thank you, Danny. Hey, what's on your mind, buddy?
You just killed me over the Rangers, man. I just wish you weren't bringing them up before I talked about what I want to talk about. Listen, how about those
Commanders,
tough.
Man? I mean, it's tough. I mean, and it's, I mean, you know, it stinks that MSG is no longer going to be on Altice right now until they figure out their squabble. But, I mean, if you're an Altice subscriber, that cracked in at the stroke of midnight. But, yes, Dan, we've all watched it. I mean, the season is careened out of control here.
Terrible.
It really has.
Terrible.
I don't think there's anything revitalizing this team. And I think, you know, it's hard to admit because you never had this kind of – I never thought on January 1st, 2025, when this season started, I'd be talking about the Rangers in the style and fashion that I am. I didn't.
Terrible.
And here we are, and for the group, obviously, Kako gone, Goodrow gone, Trouba gone, maybe Zibanejad's going to be traded here. I mean, it's done. It's done.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't their fault, all those guys, huh?
Yes, right. Yes, it was all right. Bench Kreider, he deserved it. And
he
scored a power play goal the other night. Right. Now, fire Laviolette. Right. That's the reason why. The team has quit on Laviolette. Or maybe the culture in the building's terrible.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I mean, you can feel it. You can feel it when you go there for a game. Nobody wants to be there.
What else you got, Danny? What about the Commanders?
What about them? I mean, you know, to Ira's point earlier, I get quarterbacks. It depends. You know, they got to be lucky where they get developed. This guy's a unicorn, and they're just rolling behind him at this point. They got a couple issues they might have to clean up moving forward. You know, their secondary isn't great, but this kid is just going to move them forward for the next 10 years, hopefully.
Yeah, there's Commander fans, Washington fans, had conversations about RG3 early on in his career as well, right? So I think people like to get ahead of themselves where you're, oh, he's going to be this or he's going to be that. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to be excited about. You're
100%.
Snyder did everything he could as an owner to beat the fandom out of you as a Washington fan. And it's completely 100%. Changed with Harris, Quinn, and obviously Jaden Daniels to go along with how aggressive they were in free agency and give their general manager, Adam Peters, who was one of the finalists for the Giants GM job, and they chose Joe Shane. But Adam Peters, who came over from San Francisco to be the general manager of the Washington Commanders, he's done a nice job as well putting that roster together too.
For sure. And, you know, we've got Daniels now. They built an elite offense around him. Just the fan base, what they've given us, how excited we are moving forward. Again, it's a reason to root. It's a reason to be here. You know, I'm here for it. We're here for it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's got a little bit of break with Raheem Morris and the way he used the timeouts or lack thereof at the end of the game on Sunday night. But yeah, it's fun to be a Washington fan once again. Jim Manhattan was up next to the fan. What's going on, Jim?
Moose, how you doing? Moose, I watched Tom Brady last weekend. He's not an entertaining announcer like Meredith or John Madden, but his analysis was very smart, like a coaching clinic. And I think he got those football smarts from Bill Belichick. And I think Belichick is tanned, rested, and ready, motivated to win without Brady and break Shula's record. I think the Giants players and fans would have loved to see him come back here and finish his career after having a break and really take care of some business.
Yeah, but he's coaching North Carolina Tar Heel football.
I think they should have talked to him before North Carolina got to him and started working it out with him earlier and when he was available. I think he would have been a very good hire for them, and I think he really would want to coach the Giants. I think he always has wanted to coach
I think he loves the Giants. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I don't think the Giants, though, were at that point that they were going to go the Belichick route. I don't. You like Brady? You think Brady... He does a lot for you as an announcer?
You know, the way he breaks down the plays on tape, he says, you know, first the quarterback looks this way and he shows you all the linebackers switching to that side being faked, and then the guy turns and throws the ball to the other side of the field where the linebackers vacated. I've never seen anybody explain it like that. I got to figure that when a quarterback's getting coached by a good coach, that's what the coach tells him in the coaching room. I thought he's a good analyst. I don't think he has much of a personality, but I think he's a very good analyst. Yeah. Well, how about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I look at, is he worth $37 million a year? I don't know if Brady, and I think he's learning on the job. I think people are going to go out there and defend it and say he's getting better by the week and all of that. Love Burkhardt, obviously. I think he does a remarkable job, very good job of being, the lead play-by-play man for Fox. Brady doesn't really add anything for me. I mean, it just doesn't. But like I said, like I'm kind of I look at it. I like Buck and Aikman. I think Olsen does a really good job for Fox. I think Brady's voice has an issue cutting through at times, and I don't know if he necessarily like what made Romo so initially astonishing with CBS is because he knew the league, knew the plays, and the more you're out of the league, the less you can do it. What made Romo so good early on was because he was different than everybody else. What makes Brady different than everybody else outside of being Tom Brady, right? The greatest quarterback the sport has ever seen. As an analyst, what separates him, what makes him different? Where you're paying him, giving him a 10-year, $375 million contract. Like, are you watching a football game because you're watching the game, because you like the two teams playing, or are you watching the game because Tom Brady's doing the game? That's the question I would have. Ron Konkoma, we go. It's Joe. It's the fan. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Moose. What's going on, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Here. I'm doing
great.
Happy
New Year, bud.
The Islanders aren't getting too much publicity. They stink this year. They should fire everybody there. So I think I'd rather be a Ranger fan, to be honest with you, than an Islander fan.
Well, I think it's nip and tuck. I mean, it really is. One team's 14 and 17. The other one's 16 and 19. I mean, it's like, it's like telling yourself, well, who's the thinnest fat guy in the room? Like, what does it matter? Like, they're both terrible.
I actually like going to the Madison Square Garden better than UBS. But anyway, I wanted to call about Soto. I mean, as far as him using the Yankees, I don't know too many people are talking about that. He basically used the Yankees because if I was in negotiation as a Yankee brass, I would say, listen, how much do you want? Go figure out, the market and then come back to us and tell us how much you want. I don't think that ever happened. So I'm not sure if anybody talked about that. What was your feelings on that?
Well, Joe, they went back. They asked for more. They asked for the suite. They asked for the bump up to the signing bonus. The Cal moved the number to $60 million. He wouldn't move on the suite, and which I understand. I don't fault the Yankees. It was always the offer was always going to be greater from the Mets. So if you want to say that Boris and Soto used the Yankees, sure. Yeah, they did. Did they use the Red Sox? Did they use Toronto? Did they use... Ultimately, they used each and every one of the teams for the team that they ultimately signed with. That's what negotiations are part of, right? So, you know, as Cashman articulated, you know, they were flying blind. They didn't know exactly what the other offers were. They were getting some guidance. They didn't know what the final number was. The Yankees came in at 760. The Mets came in at 765. There's escalators, a suite. The deal is worth more, you know, than $825 million. When you look at how the deal is structured from a Soto perspective, the deals weren't particularly close.
Yeah, I guess he just didn't want, he didn't, being a Yankee didn't matter to him, I guess, at that point, so.
No, it didn't. He wanted, right, and that's fine. That's fine. Like, that's great. And that's what changes everything for the Met fan. And that's what should be exciting. I understand if you're a Yankee fan, you're a little forlorn, you're a little bit down, you feel spurned. You got a little angry, you got a little emotional, all of those things, because you know how important Soto was to the team in 2024, and now you look at the team in 25, and there's no Judge insurance. Should he go down to some sort of an injury, there was with Juan Soto. We talked about that during the course of the offseason last year after the Yankees acquired him from the San Diego Padres. So all that has changed, but for the Mets, it's like, yeah, go get everybody, because that is possible. Not realistically possible, but you get the point. Like, you could be in on all of those conversations, and, you know, Cohen's got to deliver. He has. Well, he swung and missed on this guy. Not everybody the Mets go after, as Cohen talked about it at the introductory press conference for Juan Soto, not everybody the Mets go after, they're going to ultimately sign. The point is, they're in the discussions. And that's where everything has changed. Kurt in Belmore, Long Island. What's going on, Kurt?
Hey, Moose. Good morning. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Yeah, you and yours as well, Kurt.
Thank you, Moose. It's always a pleasure talking hockey with you. You're one of the best on here. Moose, before we get into the Rangers, have you been catching up with the World Junior Champions chip? Because the U.S. just beat Canada again. I think that's 5 out of the last 7 meetings they beat them. So.
Yeah, I watched. I watched the game in Ottawa last night between the under 20 World Junior. Yes,
Gabe and Perreault. There is a player, yeah. I believe, that's from your area where you in Rockland, Fortescue, defenseman. I think he's from Pearl River, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in Rockland. Very good prospect, and Perreault, as you know of, very good. And you hit it with the Rangers. Dave Pagliotta, who's a very good, reliable source, said read yesterday that Mika is willing to move his no trade, like you just mentioned earlier. I believe Toronto is one team that's interested, from what I'm hearing, believe it or not, and maybe Vancouver could be another team. I don't know if that's going to ever happen, come to fruition, but I think something pretty soon might happen with Mika. If they could unload that salary, free up some money, get some picks for some of the other UFAs. Obviously, you mentioned that this year is it's lost. I don't even have cable and MSG anymore because of the dispute. It's a joke. And I think there's one thing.
What do you have? Do you have YouTube TV? What do you have?
I have, unfortunately, Optimum. So,
oh, you do.
No. Yeah, it's horrible right now. I didn't even know about this, Moose, till yesterday. Like, last night, I'm home, and I see someone writing, there's going to be no MSG after midnight. I'm like, get the hell out of here. I never heard nothing like that. And there it is. I wake up this morning, put it on, to see if there's any classic Ranger games or something on MSG, and nothing. On strike.
Yeah, it's gone. I know, and I don't know when that dispute's going to get settled. I asked some buddies who've got YouTube TV. They say they love it. I get a little bit nervous about it, cutting the cord. You know, I'm not in my 20s, obviously. I've got 3 young kids. But I don't know. You get to this point here where the cable bills and the numbers and the amount of money that it is, what you're watching, what you're not watching, have a little bit more streamlined. But then you're getting to the apps, and then you're getting into making sure the Wi-Fi is solid, all of that stuff to make sure that you can go out there and watch TV. It's very simple. I mean, listen, that's why, you know, cable has lasted the way it has. But yes, now there's a dispute. So if you have Optimal Altice, you're not getting MSG Networks. You're not getting Rangers hockey. You're not getting Knicks. You're not getting the New Jersey Devils. I mean, that's off the table until this dispute gets decided between the two sides. And obviously, you've got varying viewpoints. Each has issued a statement. Fantastic. That's the way to start the new year in 2025. If you're a big time sports fan and you're an Altice subscriber, you don't get potentially a couple teams that or three teams that you love to watch play. Massapequa, we go. It's Tony. It's the fan. What's going on, Tony?
Mark, what's up, man? Thanks for taking the call. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Tony.
Listen, back to what that gentleman was saying before about Soto. How do you think Cashman has responded to not getting to him, to not getting him with the off-season signings and what?
Yeah, I think he's done. I think he's done a nice job. I mean, I do. I mean, I think Goldschmidt's a good gamble for a year. At 1 year, 12.5. I loved the acquisition of Devin Williams from Milwaukee. They overpaid for Fried. I get it, but you know he is going to be what Rodon isn't as long as he stays healthy. And Bellinger was a guy that the Yankees were linked to for a while here, so that's not all that surprising. I don't think the Yankees gave up all that much in the trades. You know, and the other deals obviously cost them cash. It was a big money deal for Fried. If he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a really good, even at the new ballpark in the Bronx, lefty starters play. And I do think Goldschmidt is a good gamble, and the Yankees didn't get much offensive production last year from first base.
And what's the missing piece right now?
The missing piece right now, or the biggest question I have, is who's hitting leadoff for this team? Like I think the Yankees, if I had a, and I know that there's still conversations or talk. I mean, and maybe they make go out and make another trade. I think the idea of Bregman, I don't think that's ever happening, and I don't think Nolan Arenado is a guy that's going to be happening either. You have to make the biggest decision you have to have, make now is what position is Jazz Chisholm going to play? If he's going to play, I'd rather have him play second. A more natural position, better position he's comfortable with. I think maybe you'd get better offensive production from his as well. So I'd have him play second. You got to find your answer probably internally about what's going to be at third base. And then you got to answer lineup-wise, what's going to be, who's going to be your leadoff hitter? And can Volpe take the ball and run with it? And not have like a good 5-6 weeks, but really have a good entirety of a season.
Are you shocked they didn't bring back Labor? Or even give him an offer?
I am not. I think they had grown tired of the effort. I think they had grown tired of the lack of internal motivation. I think they had grown tired of the inconsistency. And I don't think, and I said at the time and had battles with Yankee fans on this very radio station at the time, the Yankees didn't handle Glaber well when they transitioned him over to shortstop. Like, that's where you get annoyed as a fan when you look at it and say, well, I want to look at the greatest positive of a player, and I want to get the best out of that player. Not stick him at a position defensively where he is going to be uncomfortable, and then it's going to affect his greatest asset. And I think when the Yankees decided that, you know, they were going to have Gleyber Torres, and I know he played shortstop in the minor leagues, doesn't necessarily mean you can play shortstop in the major leagues. There is a stark difference between the two competition-wise. I think that affected Gleyber, but you know, Gleyber also, you know, was lacked focus at second base defensively, base running gaffes. When he is focused, and that's a big if, Gleyber is a really impactful offensive player, and the Yankees saw that at the end of the season. Now the question is, the Yankees didn't trust it. And I think they have every reason not to trust it, and now he's in Detroit.